That girl's got it like her daddy, don't she? Well, maybe it's like a mama. I don't know. I don't know. I'll give Fox that much credit. Maybe it's Amy. Hey, Michelle, thank you. Where are you sitting? Back, I see you, Colonel. Hey, she just gave me something special. She said, I had a few of these coins. She knows I'm a coin collector. I probably don't have about 1,000 back there in my Skip made me a, he and Nikki made me a case for my coins, Michelle. This will go in. It commemorates the nurses, military nurse corps, United States Army Nurse Corps, serving to conserve the fighting our fighting strength. Beautiful coin. Thank you for doing a promotion a couple of weeks ago. Well, I guess you know that you've been reading the list, the top list of 2012 already being compiled. You've seen some of those lists. I have seen some of those lists. The biggest stories, the year's biggest stories, some of them biggest scandals in Washington, in the nation. No, I read, get a magazine every month, The Economist magazine, and it had a list of the 71 most powerful people, important people in the world. But here's another list I came up with today. This is the top idiots. Y'all want to hear the list? Here's some of them. So one of them says, I'm currently a medical student doing a rotation in toxicology in a toxicology unit at the Poison Control Center. Today, a woman called in very upset because she caught her little daughter eating ants. I quickly reassured her that the ants were not harmful and there would be no need to bring her daughter to the hospital. She finally calmed down, and at the very end of the conversation, she just happened to mention that she gave her daughter ant poison to eat in order to kill ants. So I told her that she better bring her daughter to the emergency room anyway. Here's another one. Early this year, some Boeing employees on the airfield decided to steal a lifeboat from one of the 747s they were building. They were successful in getting it out of the plant and home. When they took it for a float on the river, they noticed a Coast Guard helicopter coming towards them. It turned out the chopper was honed in on the emergency locator that was activated when the raft was inflated. They no longer are employed at Boeing. And here's the best one. I like this one best. Said, a guy walked into a corner grocery store with a shotgun and demanded all the cash on the register. As the cashier was filling the bag with cash, he saw a bottle of liquor on the shelf. He told the cashier to put it in the bag as well, but the cashier refused. I can't do that. I don't think you're over 21. The robber said he was, but the clerk still refused to give it to him because she didn't believe him and said she would get into trouble if she gave it to him. At that point, the robber took out his driver's license and gave it to the clerk. She looked at it, agreed that the man was over 21, and put the bottle in the bag. The robber ran from the store with his loot. The cashier promptly called the police, who were waiting for him at home, and arrested him when he got there. That's pretty good, isn't it? I had a lady on Christmas Day. We had a wonderful lunch with Helen Ray and Dan Harrison, Bobby Balls, and some other friends. But one of the ladies at the table asked me a very interesting question. She asked me this question. She said, sweet lady, she said, Pastor, what has God told you? What has God said to you about 2013? That's a good question to ask a pastor, isn't it? But as we face a new year with a lot of question marks, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion, we face one thing. I know we prayed about it, been prayed about several times in this church already today. It's what our leaders in Washington are going to do as we face this fiscal cliff. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what's ahead. There's a lot of question marks. As we look at the world map today, Afghanistan, we look at Afghanistan and Iran, as we look at Syria, as we look at other places in the world, a lot of question marks. But I tell you what I told that lady. Just off the bat, she says, what has God said to you about 2013? Well, I told her what the Bible says to me as I read the Bible. God tells me things every day, Jerry, from His Word. But I'll give you a more explained, I thought a lot about that, and this is what God told me and what I'm going to tell you today. If you have your Bible, open them to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. I believe this is God's Word, Dorothy, for a new year. And I want to talk to you today about personal peace. Because, you see, to have peace in the world, we can't bring peace in the world if you don't have personal peace. And I believe, Mike, we need that more than anything, personal peace. I believe Sunday morning needs peace. The First Baptist Church, we need personal peace. And so I want to read to you Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. The Bible says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now I want to tell you this morning, I want to talk to you, make 3 points. And I think Romans 8 ought to be on anybody's hit parade for the great chapters of the Bible. It is absolutely one of the greatest chapters of the Bible. Now, that may be what I do in the year ahead, is to preach on the great text of the Bible. This is one of the greatest. It says so much. But I'm going to give you 3 facts that Romans 8:28 teaches. And I've preached this passage before. I know that. I talked about the certainty of that Romans 8:28. That's ahead of these verses I read. But Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. But this morning I want to take those last 7-8 verses and talk about them. Give you 3 facts, Buck. Number one, the number one fact is God is for us. And the Bible says in verse 31, as we face a physical cliff or whatever we face, you need to remember, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. God is for you. God chose you. And that's what we need to, as we march into a new year, we need to know God is for us. He's on our side. He chose us. And some of you, I heard a story of a little cub bear who lived in the wilderness, and her mother got killed. And by the way, welcome back. Ev, I didn't see you in case sitting back. Good, welcome back. Been praying for you. You know that, don't you? Last Sunday, very special day, but we prayed for you. Let me say, but anyway, this little cub was lost his mother, living in the wilderness by himself. But what happened, Sam, it met up with a big grizzly bear, a big old tall male grizzly bear. But they were separated somehow. And then one day a mountain lion saw this little cub, this little bear, and he thought one thing. You know what he thought? Lunch. It's my lunch. And the little bear saw this mountain lion, tried to run away, but couldn't get away, couldn't run far enough, couldn't run fast enough, realized I just can't do it. Impossible to get away. And so he did what a bear will do. You know what his instinct was? He just stood and said, grr, 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 little bear. And that mountain lion thought, man, that's ridiculous. Little guy, that's just ridiculous. But all of a sudden, as the mountain lion was moving in, Dr. Joe for the kill, as he was moving in, he stopped. And then he just stared. And then he froze in his tracks. And then he turned around and ran. And then the camera shifts off that little cub to behind him. There's a big old 12-foot grizzly bear. He's standing there. He's ready to rock and roll. See, the point is, here's the point. If God be for us, there's no situation, no circumstance, no moment in your life, no time in your life. If God is for you, and I think when Paul wrote this, he might have been thinking about another time. You know the time he was thinking about? He was thinking about a time, Hilda, in Mark chapter 14. Another time, the most sacred time that any of us can think about. It says in Mark 14, and they came to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John. And they began to be so amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Here's what happened, Steve. He said, Father, let this cup pass. God, I don't want to do this. In that moment, because see, Jesus knew what was ahead. He can see the end from the beginning, and he knew the suffering and all that would be his, the untold agony that he'd have to go through. And he said, Father, if I don't want to do this, let this cup pass. See, Jesus asked it. He could have got out of it, couldn't he? He didn't have to endure the cross. He could have turned buck and just left town. He didn't have to face the cross. But the Bible says in verse 32, look up in Romans 8:32, it says this, and it gives us a great key, I think. It says about what Jesus did, and I've lost my place, Romans 8:32, he says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here's the point I want to make. There had to be a decision made. Jesus said, Father, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So it was a decision had to be made to cross. But he said, not in my will, but thine be done. And God said, I want you to do it. He chose me. And then verse 32 says, if he didn't deliver his own son, that's how much he loves you. That's how important you are. God, who would not spare his own son, but gave him up. And I tell you, if he would do that, if God would do that hair, then the rest of it's easy. Everything else is easy. If God would do that, make that greater sacrifice for us, then there's nothing he won't do. I mean, he won't hold back anything. God, who would not spare his own son, he won't hold back anything. Andrew Jackson was a great, he was one of our presidents. And the thing, anybody know what? I could ask a historian what made him famous. Maybe the Battle of New Orleans, you think so? He was the general of the Battle of New Orleans. And what he did, took a ragtag army, and he whipped the British army. They had just come from a great battle. Guess what battle they'd come from? They'd come from the Battle of Waterloo, where they defeated Napoleon. And came to New Orleans, and old Andrew Jackson. He lived in a place, his home place was, anybody know what it's called? The Hermitage is right. Many of you have been there. And they said when he was retired from the presidency, he'd go back. A lot of people would like to do all our presidents' home. They want to come visit. And one day he had a preacher come back to visit, and he was talking to some people and found out this guy's preacher. He said, I'd like you to lead in a song. Would you lead us in a song that my late wife used to love to sing? And here's what he sang. How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who to Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Many of you could sing that with me, couldn't you? You could. But see, if God is for us, I went back, I was telling Celia this a day or two ago. I flew back a few years ago, Brian, with our old commander, one of our old commanders. We had a 10-year anniversary. Did you go to that? Hey, did you go to that, Al? Did you go to that one? The 10th anniversary of Desert Storm. A friend of mine was speaking that day, keynote speaker. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Hugh Shelton. They said, well, you come back. We flew in a plane together that day. We flew into Iraq up there, Rick, and I was with on his plane. He's a 1-star, but when I flew back that day, he's a 4-star. He's a chairman. And they had me and said, you come with him, you say, pray the prayer, he'll do the speaking at the dinner and all that. And anyway, they said, I was in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He said, you come to Washington, D.C., you fly on my plane. They had a plane that they reserved for the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And they put me on that plane, did you? Little old country boy from Mississippi. Little old guy. They treated me like somebody. Now, I tell you, when you're traveling with the chairman, and here's what I told, see, yes, listen, in life, young people, it matters who you're with. Amen? Amen. And I say this to every believer here, it matters who you're with. And if you were with the Lord, if you were the Lord God Almighty, you with somebody. Andy Reid, anybody know who Andy Reid is? Come on, some of you football fans, tell them, Mike. He is, he's the embattled coach, isn't he? He says his job's in trouble today. Any of y'all read the sports page? What y'all read? Hope you read your Bible. By the way, I hope you bring your Bible. You ought to bring your Bible every week and mark your Bible. Ben, did you tell your folks that? Bring your Bible, man. Bring the book. But I want to tell you, Andy Reid is in trouble. And they play the Giants today, and they need to win that game. So maybe we ought to stop and have prayer for Andy. I like him. He gave up his son this year. He had a son, lost him to drug abuse. Beginning of the season, but I read this week. You read it? And anyway, I like Andy Reid. Big old guy, and players love him. You know what they said? The players said, Coach, we got your back. He may lose his job anyway, Keith, but his players said all of his players love him, said, Coach, we got your back. So here's my point, number one. What was it? What did I tell you it was? God is for us. And I, by the way, I preached on this, I think, last Sunday. I'd be like that preacher said, hey, when y'all hear it the first time, I'll quit preaching it, you know. If you're listening, I'm going to give it to you again. But here's the point is, God is for us. And the Bible says in Romans 8:32, if God didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now here's number two. Number two is, trouble's going to come. Trouble is going to come. And you read that in, he says that in Romans chapter 8. And these and the verses following, he says in verse, look at verse 35 and 6. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, here's what I want to say. You know, he just got through saying here that God is for you. But now he talks about trouble. He said persecution and distress. I said this to a young person that's came to see me this past week. I said, trouble is a part of life. It's just a fact of life, isn't it? It's part of the human experience. And they said, it's like the young person said to me, said, it's like a war out there. I mean, one of our young people said it's like a war out there. And by the way, it is a war, isn't it? It's a spiritual war. And I'm going to preach on that soon. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle. We're in a war. Amen. And some don't even know what the battlefield is, don't know what I'm talking about, but we're in a war. But this young person said to me, he said, it's a war. It's like a war out there. Well, let me just say to you, that is part of the human experience. And I tried to explain to that young person, this is just part of life. This is part of life. But trouble's going to come. When it does come, the normal question is asked what? That's right, exactly right, Craig. Why? Why? Well, probably three or four reasons. Number one is bad decisions. Is that true? Y'all shake your head this way or that way. This way or that way. Okay. Bad decisions. And bad decisions usually always have what? They have negative consequences. And the Bible, because the Bible says, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever you, come on, say it. Sow you shall also reap. And so bad decisions. Number two is, it could be, I think, other people. It could be the sometimes other people sin. I know some people today that life has been forever changed because of the sins of others. And maybe, Peggy, they didn't have a thing in the world to do with it. But they got to reap the harvest. Got to suffer. And then I want to say third thing is sometimes we're just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Any of you all ever lived on the Gulf Coast? Alabama, Florida, Mississippi? Yeah. And if you do, Mindy, what can you expect if you live near the coast? You can expect hurricanes. You can expect them. Hurricanes. They call it in Mississippi. But you can expect it. Sometimes, Mike, I believe people are just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it just happens. But here's number four, I believe another reason that why is sometimes God leads us into trouble. Did you hear what I said? And I can prove that, I think. Because if you look at Paul and see how his life ended, he ended in jail and he took his head off. And look at Jesus, who ended up on the cross. And look at our missionaries who we have given, we have lost more missionaries in recent years than probably in many years. They've lost their lives. And they out there and just obedient. Sometimes obedient. Sometimes trouble. Sometimes, but we're all going to have trouble. And I want to say this. Some questions in life, you'll never find a reason. Some things happen, don't. Never have. But a great verse is Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. The Bible says that in Isaiah, God said through Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I have a six-year-old. My baby, Jim, his name is Jack. He's about as tough. He's like this Jack that sits over here a lot of times. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Wayne's grandson, Jack. Y'all know little Jack, right? You know what Mary asked? Yeah. Jack is really a bundle of life and energy. And my little Jack's like that. And I tell you, his brother is about 13, I believe. 13, his sister's 10. But Jack can whip both of them, I think, already. Together at the same time, I mean. And I said, he's going to be a West Point football. This guy's tough. They sent me a picture of him not long ago. He's playing hockey, ice hockey, standing in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He's playing on the 10-year-old team. He's 6 years old. I mean, he's a tough guy. You got to meet Jack one day. But you know, here's the thing about Jack. I can talk to him, but you can tell him now, Jack, eating these vegetables are better for you than to eat a bunch of sweets and candy and ice cream. Eating your vegetables, but he don't. His understanding, he's 6 years old. He don't understand that, does he? His perception and his understanding, he's not capable of that. And you know, that's a pretty good comparison. We're not capable of knowing what God is doing. He knows how to mix this thing, John. He knows how to orchestrate this thing. And what we need to do is just stay close to him. Remember, though, that number one, what will give you peace this year? Number one, you got to remember what? God is for us. Number two, you got to remember, trouble is going to come. Trouble is going to come. Amen. But you got to remember that don't matter what the trouble is in life, His grip on you, He's got you, hasn't He? He's got us. I like what the Night Stalkers, anybody have a Night Stalker here in this crowd? You know who the Night Stalkers are? The Task Force 160. And they, what is their motto, Ev? What is it? You remember? It says, we own the night. We own the night. We can't see what out there in the darkness up necessarily, but we own the night. And you know, if you can say as a Christian, we own the night. We don't know what's out there ahead. We don't know what's ahead in this next year, but we own the night because God is for us. And number two, trouble's going to come. But here's number three, God's love is enough. Bible says in verse 37 through 39 of Romans 8, 37 through 39, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to say this. God's love is enough. Is that a surprise to you? It shouldn't be. God's love is enough. Amen. When life caves in, has your life ever caved in? My life caved in, you know. And I think I've had some days in my life that I think, man, these are worse days than I ever thought, I ever imagined that I would experience. I've had a few days like that. But I want to tell you, to know God, the love of God is enough. It's enough. It's enough. I'm going to go back to my little grandson, Jack, when he was about 2 years old, 3 years old. And last time I was in Carolina, I took him swimming. And, you know, they don't listen. He don't listen to me sometimes like he ought to. And I've had him out there on the car garage trying to play ball or something. He was skinned, falling. He wouldn't listen to him. He'd lose his center of balance and fall down and skin his knees and skin his elbows, and he'd start crying. And this is an experience every grandfather's had, isn't that right? We've all had those experiences. But I go over and I pick him up and hold him, wrap him up in my arms, and brush his tears back and kiss his bobos, and I tell him it's going to be all right. And you know what? It don't take too long, just a few minutes, just a minute or two. And because I've got him wrapped up, Carol, because of my attention and my concern for him and my love for him, he forgets all about his bruises and his hurts. I want to tell you this. Life probably won't be comfortable for us in 2013. But life is secure for us. Amen? Amen? God hadn't promised you that, you know, if you give your tithe today, you get a new Cadillac next week. God didn't promise that. God didn't promise you if you bring your kids to Sunday school and church, you try to raise them right, that they won't be a rebellious child growing up. God didn't promise that. God didn't promise you that you might not get laid off and the economy might not be, it may be worse next year than it was this year. I don't know. But God didn't promise all that, did He? He didn't promise smooth sailing. But He did promise, what are those 3 points? God is with us. We're going to have trouble. But in spite of it, God's love is enough. Amen. And it is. In 2008, I was a senior chaplain for 250,000 men and women. 6 months later, and I served 34 years in uniform. And 6 months later, I sat one night in a room by myself alone, thinking that my world had washed away. But you know, there's a great, but I stayed in the Word. And if you'll do that, you will find what I found. Here it is. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. Then he says in verse 10 and 11, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the heavens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.